Patrice McCormick's here today to talk about how it takes a village to raise a child, how the whole idea of being a Lone Ranger parent is just not healthy for you or for your kids. And so she wants to have the podium here so she can have a discussion. So she wants to involve everyone today. So a couple things about Patrice. In addition to being a mother of four, she's an avid Bible, what was the word I was going to say? Student of the Bible. A fantastic, yeah, you are, and an awesome Bible teacher, and you've been a home church leader for how many years? 20? Okay, all right, she doesn't want me to say that. She's got a lot of experience as a home church leader, and she's a heck of a fun person to have around, so we are so glad to have her back at the care group today, so let me bring her up and get started.
Thanks. Thanks, Kim. I am grateful that we can have a discussion, because I would prefer, how do I just push down? I would much prefer discussion than up, blah, 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 you know, like Charlie Brown, wah, wah, wah. So like an hour. Okay. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll get started. God, thank you that you're here with us. Apart from you to try to do parenting, it is overwhelming, but with you, because you promised us to give us the resources we need, the friends that we need, and that you have sovereignly put those kids in our lives and put us in their lives, that because of those kind of things, Lord, we can have confidence that you're at work, that you're faithful, that you're gracious, and you're kind. And so, Lord, based on that, we want to talk about the value and just the necessity it is that we're part of a community and our kids end up being part of a community also. Amen. And Lord, I pray you'd bring up everything you want with the discussion too. Amen. All right, community. Community, when I talk about community, I'm talking about relationships with people that are not our family. Obviously, hopefully there's a community sense in your family, right? You actually kind of like each other and you have a common interest, right? But I want to talk about is community with people that are not our family. And I don't want to pit it like you got community with your family and community maybe with your, for those of you who attend Xenos, then you have a home church, or maybe you have a church community, or your neighborhood, or your work community. So this whole sense of community. And that's what, and again, it's not an either or, right? It's not either I'm part of my family or I'm part of my neighborhood or part of my church community. I think from God's perspective, we would do it together. And you're better, you have a healthier family if you're involved in a community. And your community is so much healthier if your family's involved in the community, right? Okay. Now, I would argue that this concept of being part of a community does not have the same value that it used to. I grew up in the 50s and the 60s. I'm old. But I grew up with the concept that you were just part of a community. My mom was a school teacher. So we had the high school kids babysat us. She was the pep club advisor. So I helped staple programs together for all the home football games. And we went to the away games. Didn't matter if your kid was playing. That was not an issue. You didn't go to watch your kid play, and you only went to the game when your kid played. You just went because you're a part of a school community. That's just what we did. For weekends, you went and watched the Rosecrans Bishops play, and then if there was a sock hop afterwards, we would all end up sleeping in Winnie Hill's living room floor waiting for our parents to come fetch us when the sock hop was over. And I still remember one time my mom came with this big bloody knee because she and my dad were dancing, square dancing, and she fell down. So, community. But as you look around, I would say it's not a given in most of our lives anymore, right? I read a book called Bowling Alone. Anybody heard of it? And he makes the point with significant amount of research that this whole concept of community has taken a serious hit from a reduction of people involved in a church, from reduction of people involved in any kind of a community meeting. You know, when's the last time you went and heard your representative or a teacher or your, you know, the school board member talk about schools? When's the last time you voted? When's the last time you read a paper? When's the last time you joined your local PTA? I am involved with PTA, so So he said, those are the kind of indicators that community has gone down. We live in a culture where overparenting is a big issue, right? It's the parent who intervenes every single time their kid, who's old enough to begin to deal with their own conflict, the parent intervenes. It's the parent who calls the teacher because Billy didn't get an A or Billy didn't get a lead in the play, rather than saying, Billy, you just are a terrible actor, honey. That's you've been gifted in a lot of ways, but acting's not one of them, right? So this whole issue of overparenting, fear, right? There's fear in our culture. So community is not a given in our life. It's not just part and parcel. Would you agree with that? Or you still think community is such a really strong, vibrant ethos in your family? Say yes or no. You're not supposed to ask those kind of questions. But you have to say yes or no, and why or why not? Do you see a reduction in the value of community? You're shaking your head yes. Why? So don't shake your head yes and let me make eye contact with you. Oh, just yell it out.
I don't even know if this is on. Yeah. Hello.
There you go.
I have a perfect example of that. I still live in the same community that I grew up in.
Okay.
And when I was growing up, it was a very open door policy.
Right.
No one locked their, you know, and the garage doors were open and we're all over each other's house all the time. My parents didn't know where we were. You know, it was perfect. And now I still live in that same community, but now everyone's doors down. You barely even wave when you drive by.
Right.
We've been living on this street for 13 years, and I know maybe the people on either side of me, but
okay.
Five doors down, she didn't even know I lived on the street.
Wow. Okay.
When I met her a couple years ago. So in that way, I've definitely seen the difference in
mm-hmm.
my community that I've been around my whole life.
Right. Yeah. I'm assuming when you said your parents didn't know where you were, it wasn't so you could get in more trouble, but that they assumed they were at your friend's house. Right, yeah.
I think in the newer neighborhoods, too, they built houses closer together. They only put windows in the front and the back of the house so you can't see in your neighbor's windows.
Okay.
And then you have a garage door that has an opener.
Right.
And so when you come and go, you just push the button, you go in, you go out. You're not outside enough to see your neighbors. And she's right. You don't know people that live more than four or five houses from you.
Right.
It's
kind right.
of sad.
Sure, it is. It is. How about civic involvement? Civic involvement, such as your PTA. That I have a membership form if you'd like to join Whetstone's PTA. PTA, voting, the local neighborhood discussion group or something. That's gone down. Why do you think neighborhood, social, civic involvement has gone down? What do you think are some of the factors? Oh, sorry, Kim. You're going to have to get her running. What are some of the factors that you think have played into the fact that this whole concept of being part of a community has taken such a hit in our generation? Yeah.
I think part of it is overscheduling. I know
okay.
our neighbors, too, I think part of it's hard to connect with them because they work till 7 at night, and then they have soccer games on Saturday morning, and they have t-ball games on Thursday
right.
afternoons, and
right.
there's just no time.
Organized things.
It's like, you guys want to come over for dinner, and they're like, well, we can't this week, can't next week.
Right.
Soccer season's done in 3 months, maybe then.
Okay.
And I think that makes it hard to do other community things besides that.
Right, okay, yeah. Things are more scheduled than they ever were. Most of us played pickup sports. You didn't go to the down to the field to play three times a week. You just played in your neighborhood. Yeah.
A lot of people want so many more things that it's a two-family income.
Two-family income.
And so you've got moms and dads both working, and women aren't around to interact with each other. I think, you know, in our church we have a priority. A lot of us stay home at least part of the time.
Right.
Yet,
two
you can't
income
interact
family.
With somebody if they're not home.
Right. Two-income families. That's taken a hit. That's added to it. I just wanted to say this because I find it fascinating. In this book, Bowling Alone, he argues the number one culprit to reduction of community is the television. Yeah. He said that information shows that the same time the reduction started to occur and civic involvement, neighborhood involvement, was at the same time the explosion occurred of every family owning a TV. Statistics show that. And it's not just now, in our culture, it's not just TV, right? Now, you don't need anybody to be entertained. You could get your movies to come in the mail, and then you could stick them back. You don't even have to see the poor little minimum wage girl or gal at Blockbuster anymore. You don't even have to make contact with them. And then you can TiVo, I don't know, we don't have it, like lots of TV shows at one time, right? So if you miss TV on Wednesday, by golly, you got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but it's covered. So it's fascinating. It's a good book. It's a long book. It's really boring in certain parts because he goes through lots of details. I'm like, oh, for God's sakes, I'll trust you that you weren't lying. But he makes a pretty good case that as we become a culture of entertainment and a culture that uses individualistic entertainment, you know, iPods. You ever see two people going for a walk on the bike path and they both have their iPods and both are plugged in and they're just walking along beside each other? I'm like, what in the world are you doing? So that's just something to think about. That the culture that you live in is going to continually give you messages that it's not important nor valuable for you to be involved in a community, let alone your kids. It is the world we live in. It is the world we live in that is continually designed to move us away from community. But I would argue that the more we remove ourselves from community, it is a huge detriment to your children. It's a huge detriment to you, a huge detriment to your children, and it's a huge detriment to the world we live in. Because ultimately, it's not about us and about my child, right? If our kids grow up thinking it's about me, what do we call those kind of kids? What do we call ourselves when we're thinking like that? We're brats, right? And so it's getting our kids involved in community that we're going to talk about that. Now, you're on the edge of your seats, and you can't wait now. So, all right. So, kids. And again, I'm going to ask you guys to tell me. But first, I'm going to just make a real brief thing, and you guys have already understood this, is that we don't parent isolated, right? How many of us have tried that? And how many times have we just about lost our minds and shot ourselves in the head, right? We need each other. God never designed for you to parent alone. For those of you who find value in the Bible, if you look at the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, he talks about our roles in a community, how we love one another. And then he talks about your individual role as a parent, an individual role as an employee. And so even as Paul, the way he's designed those books indicate that we are designed to be in community. And we're most effective when we're in community. And you guys, obviously, you understand that at some level or you would not be here this morning. So practically, quickly, what has been the benefit for you that you've been part of a community as you've tried to parent? Go, Jamie. Yeah. Adult conversation, right? You can only handle so much coloring books and Princess or G.I. Joe, or I guess that's probably not what little boys do anymore because I'm aged here, right? Adult conversation. Oh, come on now. You guys, there's some of you got older kids. You've survived it.
I think it's helped a lot to know things your kids do that you worry about, but they're just normal.
They're normal.
And you can talk it out with somebody.
Right. So. My kid's not odd or really weird. That's pretty normal. Right. Your kids are normal. Your own frustrations are normal. How many times do you think I'm the only one who's going to take my kid off, you know, if they pick their nose one more time in front of grandma or something, right? Right. So that your own frustrations are normal. Yeah, Mary. It saved her a lot of money.
I used to go shopping with my kids because I was so bored of playing airplanes. And so when I was with people, you know, you save money.
Yeah, right.
You don't buy plastic things at Target.
Right. We're getting out of the house. And let's go to that dollar thing because I'm not spending much money. Right. So... You get corrected. You get encouraged. You got a vision. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the thing that I learned the most is I don't know everything. And right. have my friends discipline and love my kids. Like my little boy, Debbie, he saw her and he's like so excited, you know, to know that my friends care about my right. kids and I can trust them
right.
with other people. And
right.
I think my kids have learned to be more accepting of other people and wanting to go to other people and right. less fearful too.
Right. Okay, that's a great segue. So in the same way that we are never designed to parent in a vacuum, God says our children are social beings, right? They are social beings that are created in the image of God. And in the same way we benefit from being around other people, so do our kids. So you said your kid benefited from being around to know they're loved by other people, right? And that they can trust other people. What have been some of the other benefits for your children as they have been involved maybe in like a church community or in their school with a teacher or a coach? What have been some things that your kids have benefited? Our kids are designed to receive, right? And so what are some ways that they have received from other people because they've been involved in a community? Yeah.
I was really hesitant to get babysitters at first. I think that's kind of, I don't know if that's normal or not, but we have three girls and they love having babysitters. And it's so fun because we come home and they, in the morning, all they want to do is talk about what they talked about and what they did. And, you know, my daughter now wants to be in the marching band and play soccer and she wants to go to Bible studies. And she just hears all of her babysitters talk about this stuff. And then they pray with her at night, too. And I think for her to see that it's not just mom and dad
right.
who have faith in the Lord, but that right. this is something that cool high schoolers do. And, you know, she's like, yeah, I got to pray with, you know, Jill last night, or I got to pray with whoever. And then the babysitters tell us what she prays about, too, which right. is different than when we're there. And so it's just neat to see her growing in that way and that we're not the only ones inputting right. stuff into her life.
Right. A vision of stuff. I'm part of something really cool. Absolutely. And they learned that people are trustworthy. That this babysitter, they're trustworthy. It's okay. I can go there. It's all right. Yeah, good. Excellent, Julie. What else?
I really appreciate the people who've invested in my kids and just giving them a vision. They see things about my kids that I don't see, you know, and sometimes we take a lot of stuff that they do for granted, or we just see the bad parts, but they can see a lot of the positive things and give them a vision for that and encourage them. And I'm just so grateful other people are involved in their life. They can say the same thing that I say, but they
right.
they listen to other people more. You know?
Right. Yeah. There's a Zitz. Have you seen the Zitz cartoon? Where the anybody familiar with Zitz? It's about a teenage boy, and one of the cartoons is he says, "Mom, I'd started to do a little bit of my homework every day for a week, and it really worked." And the parents are beating their head against the wall because they're thinking, "That's what I've told you for 10 years, and you've never paid attention to me, and now this one teacher says it. It makes so much sense." Right. Yeah, so people see things in your kids that you don't see. A vision that following Christ is really a pretty cool thing to do. It's not just my mom and dad.
We live in a pretty mixed neighborhood. We have really elderly people in the hundreds, and our kids benefited from just things, just ways to serve them.
Right.
You know, because if you are, I guess, in a neighborhood where everybody's the same age and they're just
right.
all about, I got to go out and play with my friends.
Right.
Our kids have really benefited on, you know, just being able to go to somebody's yard and shove somebody's driveway.
Right.
And they love doing that. They know that they're doing something good for somebody else.
Right. Hold on to that thought, because we're going to talk about that more in the end. Absolutely. So our kids receive so much by being part of a community. They get encouraged. They get prayed for. They get challenged. They get corrected. They have opportunities to talk to their friends about their own issues in their life. I was just talking to a mother whose son's a teenager, and he had been a real pain in the butt at home. And so they talked to him about it. But when he went and talked to his other high school friends about his attitude and how inappropriate his attitude was. And so our kids benefit so much from being in a community. They receive. But just a couple points. This other point first. They're social beings, right? God's designed us to be social beings, and so we understand that level. But do we also understand that not only did he make us social beings, but that part and parcel of who we are is that we're designed to be in community, that we're only fully human as we're in a community. The Bible makes it very clear that when we come to this world, when we're born into this world, we're not only alienated from God, but we're alienated from each other. And it doesn't take a brain surgeon to look around our world today and see how profoundly alienated we are from one another. So I don't have to make a case for that. But what's incredible is that when Christ came to the earth to die, he not only took care of our alienation with God by paying for the wrath that we deserved to be eternally separated from God, but also his death on the cross changes profoundly who we are. And so instead of being a bunch of alienated people all bouncing off each other doing our own thing, God says that once you've come into relationship with me through Christ, at some very profound level, do you realize the Bible calls us that we're the body of Christ. That's why you hear people who are Christians call each other brothers and sisters, because we're part of a body. We're part of one another. We're interdependent. And the Bible says that is who you are at the moment you accept Christ. You still may not like the people, but the bottom line is, believe it or not, you are interdependent. You're part of a body. And as much as the heart needs the lungs, the Bible says you need each other that much. And so that is what's true about our children, too, as they come to know Christ. They are part of the body. That's who they are. That's who they are designed to be. And I think it's essential that we think about that every now and then, because it's a hassle sometimes to get your kids involved with other kids, right? With other parents. It'd be so much easier just to stay home tonight and watch Glee. Good show. Rather than pack the kids up and go somewhere or get a babysitter so you can go somewhere. Again, we live in a culture that is designed to keep you apart from community. And unless you're convinced at a fundamental level that this is who I am and this is who my kid is, it is so easy to find yourself to withdraw or to overparent and to interfere with everything that happens to Billy or Sally, because I don't want them to feel bad. I don't want them to make a mistake. I don't want them to look bad so I look bad, right? That's usually why we're doing what we do, is because it ultimately will look bad on me, right? Yeah. And so it becomes terribly important that this is just part and parcel of who we are. And when we think about ourselves, when we think about our kids, they're not my child, but we're part of something much bigger. And then you might be thinking, but my kid's only 6 months old. Who cares? Still Sally or precious Billy doesn't know I'm staying at home again tonight. That's true. But if you're thinking that way now, it's not like a magic wand will come upon you when they're old enough to understand what's going on and you're going to change your ways. I'd encourage you, even if your kids are little now, start to live out community now. I know when our kids were small, I was trying to remember, maybe from like ages 8 to 4, maybe even younger. I do think Megan and Katie were out of diapers. But we were going on a women's retreat, and there was a divorced woman in our home church, and the ex-husband wasn't going to take care of his own kids while she went on retreat. So my husband volunteered to take not only our 4, which are his kids, and 2 others. So he had 6 kids, 8, 7 or 8 and under, for the weekend, from Friday to Sunday. I know. If I could bottle him up and sell him, I would be a rich woman. But, so it happened once. They had a blast. But you know what? Every time women's retreat came around, do you know what all these kids thought? Oh, it's a party weekend. These two kids are coming over. We're going to have the best weekend ever. They, for these two kids, for our kids, they just grew up thinking that's what life is about. Life is about being part of a community, about sharing, about being together. And so if you have really young kids, begin to think now. How do I live this out now? If this is true, if this is who I am, if this is what the Bible says about me, how does it impact the way I live my life today? Not 10 years from now, but how does it impact the way I live my life today? And so why is it so essential that our kids are part of a community? Because they receive so much. They receive so much. And not just the church community, your neighborhood, coaches, teachers. And so when you bash the teacher in front of your kid, behind the teacher's back, you're doing your kid a disservice because it builds into this lack of trust. Sure, is there times where it's appropriate to go talk to a teacher? Absolutely. But be careful what we're communicating to our kids as we bash a coach, as we bash a teacher, as we bash the neighbor. We communicate to our kids that people aren't trustworthy. It's a scary world out there, and life better treat me fair because I'm so fragile that if everybody isn't so nice to me, I'm shattered. So think through that. So we receive, our kids receive. Now this is what Emily hit on, and I think this is almost the most important part, even more than what our kids can receive. But I think the reason why it's so essential that our kids are involved in a community is because along with a family, it's in a community that our kids learn to give, that our kids learn to give. Again, I'm not saying that they don't learn in a family. I'm not pitting the two against each other, not at all. A lot of times, that's where they even begin to learn the concept of giving, right? Yeah. To learn to sacrifice for one another. But a lot of times that's reciprocated. Lots of times it's kind of cushy relatively to the world outside of us. And so I think why it's so essential that our kids are involved in community is because they learn to give. That they learn to give. Our children, believe it or not, are designed to be conduits of God's love. Our kids, what the Bible says is our kids, and not just our kids, but ourselves, that we'll be the most content, we'll have the greatest joy, the greatest sense of purpose when we learn to give away what God has given us. And again, talk about being counterintuitive to the world that we live in. What does our culture tell our kids is going to make them happy? Come on, you guys see it every day. You struggle with it every day ourselves. It's not like just our kids. I got it all mastered. It's just my kids that got the problem, right? What's our culture telling our kids are going to make them happy? And what have we bought into so many times? More stuff. Oh my, and not just stuff, a designer stuff. You just can't have a pair of jeans. You got to have, you deserve the best. You deserve Hollister jeans, right? Or whatever. I can't even say half the names, right? You got to have the best jeans and you got to have Ugg boots. You just can't have boots. You got to have Ugg boots, whatever those are. They are ugly. So you got to have the best, right? We got to mock this stuff. You got to mock it. You take a stand. And one way you can do is mock it. Like, those boots are about the ugliest boots I have ever seen. Okay, so you got to have the best. What else? What else is our culture telling our kids? Be entertained. That is what life is about. God forbid you're home on a Friday night and there's nothing to do. Now, I struggle with that myself, so I can't be too critical of my children. Right. You've got to be, life is about, well, I can't be careful because I like to have fun too. But yeah, all that is important in life is having fun, being entertained, having the newest. You just can't have a cell phone anymore, right? You have to have a droid. Whatever, I'm not even really sure what those are either, but you got to have the certain kind of cell phone. Upgrade, 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 right? All golly neds, all you need to do is, pick up the phone. It's to call somebody and answer somebody. It's not, but now you can watch a movie on your cell phone. Who needs to watch a movie on their cell phone? But you got to have the best. You got to have the nicest. You got to be entertained. You got to be cool. personal peace and affluence. Our kids need to be all better than they are, better than we are. What a horrible thing to put on our kids. We're the wealthiest country in the world. And we're telling our kids, oh, you need to be better off than we are to be successful, right? We live in a consumer culture where it is all about me. And if it's not meeting my needs when I want it, then it's not good, right? We're influenced by that too. Why do you join a particular team? Because it's going to make my kid better. Why do you go to a particular school? Because that school can do a lot for my kid. Why are you going to move in that neighborhood? Because it's going to make me happy. So we live in consumer culture. Why would you go to that church? Because that church is going to serve me, right? And God's saying, no, 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 no. Ultimately, what's going to make us happy, what's going to make our kids happy, what will give our kids joy is as they learn to give. As they learn to give away what God has given them. Now, they can't give away what they don't have. If they don't understand the love of God, if they've not developed their own relationship with Christ, it's hard to give away love when you're sucking for bad gas, right? So, our kids are designed, and we're designed, to know that our life matters, that there's a purpose to this life, that there's a purpose to my life. That what I do matters, right? It matters what I think. It matters what I say. It matters what I do. Our kids are the exact same way. And so our kids become, it's the way they're designed. That my life matters. It's interesting, we were working at our school doing some cleanup around the school, and I was working with a teenager that would have probably been labeled as pretty difficult kid. And as we're cleaning up trash, he's asking me, what's life about? Does it really matter that I'm here? What's the purpose of my life? And I told him, I said, you know, there are answers. If you want answers, there are answers to those questions. And so we have kids who want to know that their life matters. They want to know that their life matters. And if our kids remain in a nice, protective, warm, comfortable environment, they'll never ever know that their life matters. It's only as they engage in the world around them, in their school community, in their neighborhood, in their church community, I think, do they really get a sense that what I do really matters. I've seen it with my own kids, and I wish I could say, like, they are the shining star, but they sure weren't, and they sure aren't. But slowly over time, they're starting to understand that it really does matter what I do. It does matter what I say. They're seeing kids in their high school come to Christ. They're hearing about kids who are going to sleep in their car because home's so bad, and so they come stay at our house. And so as our children engage in the real world, they're going to see real broken hearts. They're going to see real needs, not just, I didn't get my UGG boots today, but they're going to see broken, broken people. And God wants to use our children to communicate his love to a lost and broken world. And if we continue to protect them, if we continue to only allow them in certain, you know, only with certain people at certain times, we do them such a disservice because they don't become who God has designed them to be. And not only have we done a disservice to them, but we've just done a horrible disservice to the communities we live in. I mean, we look at the world we live in, and it's broken, and it's a mess, and it's getting worse. But do we really expect it to get any better? The more we retreat from the world that God's put us in. Now, I'm not saying you go do some stupid risk thing. I'm not saying you have your kid walk down the middle of a dark alley by themselves late at night. I'm not saying that at all. Of course I'm not. It's calculated risks. But then the other thing you got to wrestle with is God with you or not? Does Jesus love my kids more than I do? Is he involved in their lives? Does he love this world? And is he committed to working through them to reach a lost world? And so, but again, we live in a culture that's going to say, stay out, don't go. Stay home, watch TV, drive, you know, to open your garage door, slide in, close the door, because it's scary out there. And it is scary. It's way scary out there. And I've only scratched the surface of that scariness. But if you want your kids to be fully human, if you want them to know that their life matters, that they can have an impact in the world that they live in, you've got to get them involved in a community, in some kind of community, because our world desperately needs the love of Christ. And you know, you want your kids not to do drugs, have sex, or booze, then help them learn that there's something greater than themselves to live for. Help them learn that life, that a life of fallen Christ is full of risks, it's full of excitement, it's full of challenges, but God is faithful, and that he'll be there as they take those challenges. So get your kids involved in community, and you can start really, really young. You can have them shovel the neighbor's snow. You can have them rake the neighbor's leaves. When our kids were little, and I wish I could, I'm not very good about remembering when we did this, we used to do Meals on Wheels, and our kids weren't really, and they complained every time we went. I wish I could say my kids were like, wow, Mom, we're so glad we get to do Meals on Wheels today. They, one time, we'd have to say, shut, we wouldn't say shut up. We'd use a nicer word than that, but what we would communicate as they're in the car complaining is shut up, no more, stop it. So we would do Meals on Wheels together. And so one boy and one girl would carry the milk, and somebody else would carry the thing, and we'd walk up and we'd pass out meals. And fortunately, we were in a really pretty rough part of town. I remember this one guy came out in a pair of shorts and no shirt and scissors out the door, and all the milk, oh. And I'm trying not to be afraid because I'm so, yeah. And he cut a rose and handed it to us. Yeah. So my kids got to see a broken world. And so this leads me into my next point. As our kids are engaged in the world around them, you know, we talk about character transformation in our kids. We want our kids to be resilient. We want our kids to be grateful. We want our kids to be courageous. We want them to be flexible. And the list, kind, the list goes on and on. If you want that kind of character transformation in your kid and in yourself, the best way to do it is try to give away God's love to other people. Right? Those of us who are trying to do that, as we try to love other people, are not our own character issues so radically and so quickly exposed? I thought I was a lover of people, or I really liked people. And then I got really close to people, and I thought, I don't like you guys at all. Right? And then, you know what they thought? They said, I thought I used to like you, Patrice, but I don't like you at all either. As we get to know each other. And so, all those character qualities we so desperately want in our kids, again, if they stay in this nice protective environment, it's not going to happen. It won't. It'll happen some, but not to the degree that it can. Our kids begin to think that they cannot deal with the world around them if they don't get bumped and bruised periodically. Probably one of the most painful experiences we had with our kids so far was our oldest was playing basketball, and he didn't get along with the coach. Coach didn't like him. So he went to the coach, and he said, Coach, what can I do to get to play more? And the coach said, you can't. You're not good. You stink. So we pick him up, and all of us know he's having this conversation with this coach, and we are going to go out and have ice cream for family night. And he sat in the back seat of our van and sobbed. He sobbed. He was so brokenhearted. And then he went to the coach again and got the same response. Now, you can imagine what I wanted to do as a parent. I can't use the kind of words that I was thinking. But I realized afterwards, it helped build in my son a sense of resiliency. It was painful. It was hard for a sophomore in high school to go talk to his coach and have his coach talk to him like that. But you know what he learned? Life could be pretty mean, but you know what? I can deal with it. I'm going to be okay. It hurt like heck. It's big old crocodile tears. But he got up the next morning, and he ended up playing volleyball and having a blast. So it was rough. It was painful. It was calculated. We understood what was going on. We talked to him about it. We talked through what he was going to say. We talked about it afterwards. But he left realizing, I can deal with life. I'm not some fragile, oh my gosh, what's going to happen if this happens? But there was a beginning and a continuing strength in character as he began to interact with a world that's not going to treat him so kindly. And it's the world that we live in, right? And so why is it important that our kids live in community? One, because they get so much. They get so much. But also it's in community that they learn to give. And as they learn to give, they understand that my life matters. It has purpose. It has meaning. It matters what I do. It matters that I get up today. And as our kids are learning to give away the love that God has given them, the very character transformation we want in our children is going to occur. It will occur. You know, sometimes feet dragging just like the rest of us, but they have a better chance of it happening, I should say. And God will continually move towards them. So that's all I had. If people have questions or comments, I would love to hear them. Yeah, Sherry.
I was thinking about just how important this whole idea is when I was realizing that I couldn't provide my kids with everything and feeling bad about my weaknesses and things I struggle with. And it just really struck me how God has provided other people to fill in the gaps and to realize that I don't have to provide my kids with everything and that he's going to take care of them. He loves them more than I do. And that it's so comforting to know to be part of a bigger body of Christ where it's like, yeah, I'm not very good in this area, but you know who's really good at being, you know, encouraging or positive? This person is. And you can model from this person and not look at my bad example, you know. So it was really comforting that way.
Oh, yeah. I don't have an artistic bone in my body, not one. And my good friend Sue Walden does. And so she used to pick up my daughters and they'd go do arts and crafts because all I could do is maybe draw a stick figure. And that was the extent of my artistic ability. And that's on a really minor thing, but on such many other things. Yeah. And again, I think as Christians, sometimes we want to limit it just to the body of Christ. But I think I remember our oldest wrote in school, he had to write a report on a grand person, and he picked a neighbor, a stay-at-home dad that was around all the time, that was patient and kind and super. He was grand, and it impacted my neighbor profoundly. It was really cool that was a grand person in my son's life. So absolutely. Yeah, Kim.
We talked earlier about how a lot of times you hear high school is going to be negative and you're afraid of it. And so you were very positive about high school. So I just wanted you to speak to that quickly.
We've been very fortunate. And it's not that our children have not made choices that to go do their own thing for an extended period of time. It's not like we have four lovely compliant children. But I have never had so much fun in my whole life as I have in these high school years. Again, we had this great mixture of boys and girls, so we have lots of other boys and girls at our house. Lots of times we feed them a lot, but to see them make their faith their own is the most exciting thing, and I think Mary could agree with me. It's the most exciting thing ever. And we've had the tremendous privilege to have an extra kid live with us for a year that didn't have a place to live, and he was living in a situation that was bad, and all four of my kids, hands down, said, it would be fantastic to have him live with us. Have him live with us. So we had an extra high schooler live with us, and they saw him go from flunking out to actually graduating from high school and getting a driver's license, probably the first in his family to get a high school degree. And so and we've got somebody else who lives with us now who's coming from she was a crack addict, and she's clean. She's been clean for 120 days. And so, was it scary? Heck yeah. But to see your kids make their faith their own has been one of the most fun, exciting, enjoyable thing. And again, it's not that like my kids always followed Jesus and loved Jesus and it was great. It's not that, because we had our fair share of heartache. But boy, in terms of, don't be afraid of it, but invest in your kids when they're little so that when they're in high school, they actually want to hang out with you. We have spent more money at McDonald's and Wendy's and now Chipotle than you can imagine. But I have a 20-year-old who will call me and say, hey, we haven't had coffee for a while. When are we going to go out for coffee? And that was an awful lot of 20-minute lunches where I'd say, how is your day going? Good. How about those Buckeyes? Oh, they're really good. But But we have kids who, and I think Mary will attest to this too. She's the only one I know who has college kids too, that they still want to spend time with us, because we was an awful lot of years of just being there. Do you have anything else to say, Mary? Because you got college kids and high school kids.
Well, one of the things I was thinking when you were talking about getting them out and getting them
serving
things and how they would complain. Our first two kids were really willing to go do stuff. And I was trying to remember if I ever had to tell them to turn off the TV and go out. They were very social. But my third, who's now 12, is so stubborn. And I'm actually afraid of him. when it comes down to, saying, okay, it's time to turn off the Xbox and,
let's go.
Go outside. Yeah. He just is so, this is the kid that when he was 4 and we were going to preschool, I stood at the corner and said, we're walking to school. He said, no, we're not. You're going to carry me. So for 45 minutes, we stood and looked at each other. So, he just has a real will. And I think all kids are different when it comes to that. But with him, my husband and I are like, this is a battle that's worth fighting. So when we're going to go paint a gym, he's going to come with us, and he's going to not be happy about it. But we're going to go ahead and fight that battle with him, because I don't want him to turn out as one of those frat guys that sits in front of his TV and eats pizza and drinks beer all the time. Right. That's what that, if he doesn't learn how to care, and if we're not willing to, face the battle, which is formidable, then, we're going to be sorry, and he's going to.
He grows up with this mindset that even though I don't like it, this just is the way life is.
We had him go pick apples with us. We were hosting a bunch of Asian girls who just came into the country from Taiwan. And he was like, are you kidding me? You really? I have to go with all these girls?
Right.
But they didn't understand baseball. They have very limited English. So they were asking him questions. And he was explaining, how to play the game of baseball. And, at the end, he was like, that was actually really fun.
Right.
And so, something that I couldn't even really see. How is he going to enjoy this?
Right.
He did, and he learned something.
And part of it is, I think as parents, we have to be able to say, I really don't care that you don't enjoy it. I stole this from Laura Gordon. Your first mistake is you think this is about you. This has nothing to do with you. Has nothing to do. We're going to go see Grandma because she's Grandma. Or we're going to go pick apples because we're going to go pick apples. So please get that out of your head that's even about you. Yeah.
And if you want practical ideas on how to serve with your kids, Mary Barnum did that teaching for us at Care Group. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. And it was like so many example
things.
After example, example that she gave. So that's a good reference.
Absolutely. Yeah.
One of the foundations had called us. Oh, I get to talk to the microphone.
Okay. Oh, wow. I love this. One of the foundations had called us and said, hey, will you, it was a leukemia foundation, asked us to stuff envelopes and pass them out to the neighborhood. I thought, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do that. But anyway, I was so blessed by this because my whole family was around the table. My little 5-year-old was folding, and my oldest 9-year-old was addressing the envelopes, and it just became a whole family thing. Then they all got, we didn't do the stamps to save some money, but then they all got on their bicycles and they stuffed their little bags and, rode around the neighborhood and delivered, and it was just awesome. It was awesome for the kids, for me to witness it, for the neighborhood, the people to see the kids were involved, And even on the leukemia thing, we signed it Pam and Family, it was from us, And so there's so many ways, and I don't mean to hog this, but about the neighbors that go in the driveway or their garage and shut the garage door. I'm shaking. I don't know why I'm shaking, but I love this thing. But anyway, we did, we put a bench out in the front yard, because a lot of times now people go in the backyard and they just play. We put a bench in the front yard, my kids play in the front, and we started a trend. People in our neighborhood are now, they have the benches in the front yard, and the whole neighborhood's outside, and we just have this huge thing. It's just a blast.
Yeah.
And there's so many different ways we can do that, but it is a blessing to see your kids get involved. And just like you said, we're going to do it. Maybe at first they're like, ah, ma. But at the end, they just love it, and they're so blessed, and it's so good, and I'm just,
that's good that your kids love it, because there were many times my kids did not love it the whole time we did it.
Really? Afterwards, they didn't feel like,
Maybe now that they're 20, but when they were 6, they complained the whole time we did it, they complained after it, they complained in between times that we did it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They didn't say, wow, this is great. I can't wait to serve again. No, not when they were little. Yeah. Oh, gosh, my kids will probably be so offended. No.
I always wanted my daughter to be able to understand forgiveness, and she has to constantly forgive her brother and stuff like that, but it's really not from her heart, you know.
Right.
Within my family, it's a bit difficult, I think, to instill that character quality in her to be forgiving. But a friend down the street we've been hanging out with who doesn't know Christ thought, great, let's have a cookout, invite her and her boyfriend, a little girl, came over. Well, in the process of that, things went missing of hers.
Mm-hmm.
That was an expensive toy, and she was shocked. She was like, I can't believe somebody would do that to me. And so it was a really great opportunity to have someone come into our home that isn't part of our family.
Right, right.
And for her to experience that sting of someone taking things from
right.
her, but then also being able to teach her what true forgiveness is. And
right.
then now she's praying for her and the boyfriend, and we still don't know where it is.
Right.
You know, but I think that was such a huge lesson for
mm-hmm.
her that will go beyond
right.
her years. So yeah. I think the character qualities that can be established when you invite people into your home.
Right. And it'll be costly.
Yeah.
It's costly.
It is, but it's a thing.
Right.
But I would much rather her lose that thing and know how to forgive than to have that thing back and
right. Right.
not know how to forgive. So
absolutely. Cost you time, cost you money. You're the house. Yours is the house that gets trashed. You're the house. The kids spill the red juice in it.